Back with you on The Takeaway. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Been a lot of heavy stuff today, but we're going to give you a chance to breathe and have some fun here at the end of the hour. We've got the next installment in our series, Joking from a Distance. For about a month now, late night host Samantha Bee has been filming her show Full Frontal from her backyard with her husband, Jason Jones, behind the camera.
Hi, welcome to Full Frontal. I'm Samantha Bee, and I'm in the woods right now, both metaphorically and literally. To help prevent the spread of COVID-19, I'm now shooting the show with a safe, minimal crew of my husband and the creatures of the forest.
And while that means the show looks and sounds very different from its normal format, Sam told me that the overall tone hasn't really had to change from its pre-COVID iteration.
I think that has always been the strength of the show, taking material that's really dark and scary and crazy and turning it into a comedy show. So it's different because we're all facing this hardship or this experience of the pandemic at the same time. We're all in the same boat as opposed to kind of focusing on one niche issue and bringing it to light. So that part is different, but I think the execution is the same.
Full Frontal's co-head writer Kristen Bartlett says that despite the logistical challenges, the show's writing team quickly adapted to putting together a weekly comedy show from home.
We've really adjusted our process, and we have staff writing on a couple of days that are totally different days. And then me and the other head writer, Mike Drucker, assemble the show and punch it up on Saturday nights. And we have these marathon 3-hour phone conversations. So things have changed, but we are still able to hear each other laugh and find the funny things. So I feel very fortunate in that respect.
When I talked to Sam and Kristen, Sam explained how her backyard ended up serving as the show's new studio.
The basic thought process was, as we were leaving the studio, our last show that we shot in the studio, which we did, by the way, without an audience already, our last experience in that studio, we had a real feeling like we would not be coming back to our office for quite some time. And so people started to gather their equipment and the things that they would need to do a show remotely, even though we had, of course, no idea what that would really look like. And we, my husband and my family, we came to our house and kind of set up camp, but there was a great deal of confusion. Like, could we do a show out here? Is it even physically possible? How could we upload footage? What could we really make of this experience? So we just shot a couple of things in the forest. We shot a couple of digital videos out in the forest by our woodshed. And in through that, I think that we figured out that we could capture something with an iPhone 11, literally, that was broadcast worthy. Like, we knew we could make the content, we could make our show in that way, all in our various homes, but could we make it really broadcastable? Could we make it look pleasant and watchable? And we figured out pretty soon that we could. And then we kind of had to sell the network on it a bit and go, like, we think we have something here. Like, we think we can do this. And then, so that process took a little while. And then after about a week or so, we were just all on board. I really wanted to keep the show going. We really wanted to keep the show going. And so we just made it keep going.
You know, you mentioned being in the studio in your last episode without an audience. Kristen, is it different writing when you know there's not going to be a live audience whose energy you get to play off of?
Oh, absolutely. So for the first show that we knew that there wouldn't be an audience, we found out the morning of the show that we weren't going to have an audience. And Mike and I had this idea to ask Sam to say or to read jokes that she had never seen before. So we added a few in right before we were shooting. And Sam very graciously was willing to go along with that, which is very risky. Yeah, but I think it was really funny to hear Sam's laugh. It's such a funny thing that we enjoy in rehearsal, is to surprise her with a joke. So it was funny to share that with the world. And then now when we're just sort of in the thick of things without an audience and knowing that there's not going to be an audience, we don't really know the timing of things. So we have to write a little bit more than we would typically write just to know that we have coverage. And also, I think one of the interesting things is that when it comes to joke writing, I think we would lose jokes in the past when we knew they would die a sad death in front of the audience. And now I think we're willing to put things that are more absurd or esoteric, I think, because there's no audience anyway. So who's going to get it is who's going to get it. So that's an interesting change.
I mean, let's not say there's no audience. I am delivering this show directly down the barrel of my husband's eyeballs. So there's an audience of one.
What, like, does Jason give you feedback?
Oh, yeah, he does.
Is it helpful feedback?
It is helpful feedback. Although he has so many jobs to do when we're out there in the forest that, like, you know, we don't have a lot of equipment. So he's kind of, we have a tripod and he puts the iPhone on the tripod, but he's also kind of holding other things in place, like a little light that's battery powered or this flex fill, which kind of reflects light up into your face and has a really nice, casts a nice golden light onto you. So he's holding all these different things. So if I mess it up, which I often do, it's just physically challenging for him to hold the same body position. And so he slumps. So he's like, if I screw it up, his whole body goes, oh, God. So that is actually what I had to ask him to not do a dramatic shoulder slump anytime I messed up because it was really demoralizing. I thought that he was reacting to my bad performance, but actually he just needed to rest his shoulders.
I think it would surprise people to like have this mental image of you guys out there in the woods doing this yourselves.
It's funny. We've taken lots of photographs of it and just we're having my son who's 11 is kind of documenting it for us because I think it's really interesting. It's become like a family enterprise, I guess. I guess we're like when the Brady Bunch formed a rock band.
I also think one of the really interesting things is that it's sort of a window into Sam's real life and her relationship. One of the ways that we've had fun has been writing cold opens. And I think Sam and Jason really take those and make them their own and improvise. And I think you explore whatever you're feeling that week, which is a lot of fun.
It's really fun. Yeah, it's really fun. For this episode this week, I tried to work out in the forest and it was really challenging. I've really learned a lot about the limitations of my own body and they are many. I am not physically limber.
I'm curious for both of you, like with such a big team and sort of trying to do all of this in this kind of MacGyvery way, do you find people needing breaks? Do you find people being crushed under the kind of sadness of what is happening around them? And how do you balance letting them have that moment with like, oh, hey, we got to make a funny TV show?
Well, I don't actually, I will say that my approach, we were supposed to take a break along with the New York public school system. And we blew through that break. So we did not actually take a break when we had a break scheduled because I truly felt that we needed the momentum to carry us through. Like it felt like the wrong time to take an anxiety inducing 2-week break where we really had nothing to do and hadn't really firmly established that we could make a show in the forest. It was right at the beginning, like maybe 2 episodes into our forest shows. But we are taking a longer break at the end of May where we can all kind of like hit the reset button. We definitely need a break. There's no question. But it did feel like having kind of some continuity and some momentum was important. And I mean, I can't speak for you, Kristen, and I can't speak for anybody else, but having a thing to do every day, even though it's been taxing emotionally on many levels, has been very helpful.
I definitely think that's true. And I feel so grateful to still be able to be working, especially in this world when so many people aren't. So I feel so grateful for that. It's naturally going to be hard. There are some days that you're feeling it more than others. I think we're all like very vulnerable and sensitive right now. I think I cry at surprising, like this, like a slightly sad commercial, you know, or a meaningful commercial that says we're all in this together will make me cry. And I think I'm grateful. Like last night I cried over Instant Family, which is a movie about fostering. My God. So I feel like it's a different world where we're all like living, I think, a little bit outside of our skin. So naturally we're going to have moments when it's too hard and we need to take a moment. And I feel very lucky to have a co-head writer, to have Mike, because we trade off a little bit when we're feeling a little too, like it's too intense. And thankfully we have a staff that understands that. I think that we all have those moments. I think a lot of the moms on staff, when they found out that New York schools were going to be closed for the rest of the year, had their own freak out. And I think, yeah, we all freak out at different times and feel it at different times. For me, seeing the Wawa, knowing that there was a Wawa truck that was handling bodies, was like, I need to take a break from this for a day. That's so insane. And I can't believe I'm living in this world. But we kind of have each other's backs, which I'm so grateful for.
There's this thing, Kristen, that I wanted to ask you about. And actually, Sam, you too. Big news in the New York comedy world on Tuesday. Upright Citizens Brigade said they're going to be shutting down their New York theater for financial reasons. Kristen, you used to perform there. I mean, how do you guys feel about this? And what does it mean to the comedy scene in New York?
Oh, man, it's devastating. So I definitely came out of UCB. I wouldn't have a career without it. I came from North Carolina. I had no contacts. I didn't know what I was doing with my life. And I took an improv class at UCB, and that really changed the trajectory of my life. And it also gave me a community and people that, you know, are going to be my friends for the rest of my life, friends and collaborators. So I feel very thankful to have had that in my life. And it's so sad to know that that's gone. And for instance, like, my husband is still there. He had a running show at the theater, and it's crazy to see how this is going to change. One of the things that I think is definitely true is that the place is about the people. It's not about the place. And so I think that that's not going away. And I think that we're going to see some kind of resurgence when all of this is over. But it is absolutely devastating to the New York comedy scene.
Do you guys think about kind of what the comedy scene will look like in whatever our future world is going to be? I mean, who knows what that is? But, you know, I think about the barrier to saying to people, hey, get in a group of 50 or 75 people and come into an enclosed space. Does that make you nervous about kind of what happens to the future of what you do?
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's completely uncertain. I have no idea what the future will hold. Like, we don't know. We don't have a sense for when we'll be back in our studio, like, let alone our offices, but our studio won't be open for probably a very long time. And would we even want to gather that way? And now that we know that we can safely distance and do our show from our home offices, like, that's, you know, that feels like that's going to be in place for a long time. So of course I can sort of speak to the industry a little bit, because I do get pitches and I hear pitches from other people, and I have a production company. And so a lot of the networks now are seeking shows that are coronavirus friendly.
Really? What does that mean? What does coronavirus friendly mean?
Well, meaning that if you were in production and suddenly you had to stop production because if there is an expected resurgence of the virus in the winter, it behooves you to have everything, to be able to adjust quickly. All of us are going to have to learn how to adjust quickly. If we genuinely, like, if we gradually get back to something, there are going to be kind of bushfires probably for a year or two until there's a vaccine. So feels very unpredictable. And it is scary, of course.
I also think the tone of things will change as well. I mean, when I think about it, I think about, you know, what will I really want to see? You know, I think one of my friends has been working on a movie about being on a cruise ship, and we laughed very hard about the idea of having to put that off to the side. But I think that that's where we have to start thinking about what will people want to see, and also how will they feel, and tapping into that.
Yeah. I mean, I already watch things now and try to imagine creating that piece of, like, watching a television show now. Everybody's just so close and people are touching each other and eating in restaurants. And it seems so insane to me right now, just contextually.
Have you two had a conversation, or maybe a broader one among the staff, about what the purpose of your show is right now? Because you're doing things like having Elizabeth Warren or Katie Porter on, but you're also doing, like, weird comedy in the forest. And I wonder if you think, like, we're going to throw it all at the wall and see what works, or if you're thinking, here's a specific need we want to put out for our audience.
I don't think that I'm all that purpose driven. Are you, Kristen? I don't know that we've really sat down and kind of been philosophical about it, except to think we should continue the show, and we need to make it entertaining under these under any circumstances. And these are the tools that we have. And it is weirdly an opportunity to explore different facets of ourselves, for sure. Running around in the forest, or like, we are trying to be adaptable. What does it look like to shoot man on the street interviews now in a time of social distancing? Well, we have a robot that we're going to try. Like, we've done, we're trying to be very creative in this kind of new world that we're living in. And I think that it'll be fun. It's fun in a weird way. It's fun.
It is. I think people sometimes ask, like, why is the show so important to people? Like, what are you trying to deliver? And I think really we're just trying to make a show that means something to us, and we hope people like it, and we hope people think it's funny. I also think one thing that's very funny about the show is that at the start of the year, we were talking about a mission for the rest of the year and thinking about how we wanted to be experimental and do things we'd never done before. And suddenly we are, because we have to.
It's amazing when you think back to conversations that we had, because this was a convention year. And so it really is the kind of prime time for a show, like for a topical news show. Of course, it's very important. And now the conventions are probably not happening, or that the future of that's completely uncertain. So everything has just changed so much. So we're just going with it. Lizzie, we're going with it. We're gonna roll with it and hope for the best.
Samantha Bee is the host of Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, and Kristen Bartlett is one of the show's co-head writers. Thank you both very much.
Thank you. This was a pleasure.
Thank you. Yay.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.